The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Wednesday show. Happy to be back here with a little bit more of a voice today. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Heath Cummings. All right, guys, last year we did a very cool thing. We did the pick-by-pick series. So let's do it again. You guys ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, cool. Today's sponsors, real quick. Head & Shoulders is a sponsor today, as you just heard. Go to headandshoulders.com/NFL for more on Head & Shoulders. Great shampoo. Loving the shampoo. FanDuel is a sponsor, and today's a big FanDuel day because I'm doing a bonus DFS episode later on today to talk about FanDuel, to talk about just how to play DFS with Mike McClure, who's basically as much of an expert as you can get. But go to FanDuel.com/FFT and get a $5 bonus. And our third sponsor today is SeatGeek. And you can go to SeatGeek.com or download the app and use the code FFT and get $10 off your first purchase. All right, we're going to run through some news and notes. We actually have most of the show's already been recorded because we spoke to Chris Harris from Harris Football about IDP, about some of the players he likes, about some strategy. You're going to hear that interview in the second half of the show. But first, we're going to tell you how to draft from each spot in a 12-team PPR league. And we're going to talk about an absolutely dreadful team that was picked with the 12th overall pick. At least, you know, I think it's pretty bad. We'll see what Jamie and Heath have to say. But let's do the news and notes real quick here, guys. The Dolphins are reportedly interested in acquiring Jadeveon Clowney from Houston. And Kenyon Drake's name has been floated there. Laremy Tunsil, the left tackle, his name's also been floated. So give me a reaction to this spicy rumor.
If they trade Laremy Tunsil, it'd be one of the top five dumbest things I've heard from a franchise that has done a lot of dumb things. You can't trade a left tackle of his caliber for Clowney as good as he is.
And I think there were some tweets last night saying it's not going to be Tunsil if Clowney.
It can't be.
Yeah.
That would just be idiotic. I think
this is a premier pass rusher, man. I don't know that it's idiotic to trade a left tackle for a pass rusher.
Well, the left tackle is younger and cheaper.
I don't think they're trading him.
Okay. So what if
it's all things factored in. I mean, player for player, Clowney's a better player. But it's
so then
factoring
do it.
In. No, you don't do it.
They're not going to.
It's okay, they're not going to do it.
It's not going to happen.
So what do you make of the Kenyon Drake?
I think
Drake,
if the trade is picks for Drake, picks and Drake, and maybe Kenny Stills, because that's also a potential part of this, then I think it makes sense. If it's, you know, just fantasy-wise, I think Kenyon Drake in Houston would be good.
I would rather him just stay in Miami. I'd rather him be on a bad team sharing with Kalen Ballage than on a good team sharing with Duke Johnson.
That probably does make more sense for his fantasy value. I guess I was thinking more from the Texans as a team.
Right. Yes. If it's for them, I don't like
Drake. You're very selfish.
I think Drake would still probably be the same type of guy. A little bit lower.
The only thing I don't know is if he's just a first and second down guy with Duke Johnson on the team.
I would think they mix and match because their skill set is somewhat similar.
Yeah.
I mean, Drake is probably better suited to be a first and second down guy, but right. I mean, you know, he's a pretty good pass catcher.
He might score more touchdowns, I guess.
Well, this is why, except Lamar Miller never scored any touchdowns, but this is why Dave seemed a little bit lower on Duke Johnson because he just assumed they're going to bring someone in. It's going to hurt Duke's value. So how much should we have that in mind when we're drafting Duke Johnson, who one of you said you saw him go in the fourth round yesterday?
Right. I've got him as a fifth round pick in PPR, and I've only given him 35% of their carries. So I'm expecting somebody else to come in and take half. If it was Kenyon Drake, that's toward the upper end of who I thought they might acquire, and that would hurt him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But I still think he's going to get more work than I expected in the beginning.
I'm still of the mindset it's going to be a Carlos Hyde type, a Kenneth Dixon type, a guy that's, you know, been around for a few years and struggling to hang on whether it's their respective team because of circumstance, like a Dixon or Hyde, who's been kicked around the league a few times. So I don't think it's going to impact Duke Johnson to the level of what Kenyon Drake would do.
Right.
If it's Kenyon Drake, then, you know, both guys, I guess I'll backtrack from what you said, both guys would lose.
Okay. Kyle Shanahan talked extensively about Dante Pettis, and, you know, he basically talked about how good Pettis is and that he's really pushing Dante Pettis, and he's hard on Dante Pettis because he thinks that, you know, there's a lot there. So, Jamie, you shared that the quote with me yesterday. Did it make you more optimistic about drafting Pettis?
No. I mean, at this point, I need to see it from him. You know, and it's funny because the way that I viewed Pettis coming into the season was he had a great four-game stretch when Marquise Goodwin was dealing with some issues and hurt. They had nobody else really in the receiving core. George Kittle is kind of locked into his role, but, you know, they added two receivers in the draft and getting Goodwin back, and I thought that he was going to get pushed, but I still thought he was the best of the bunch. And I sort of, you know, not to a huge degree, you know, moved Pettis up a few times and dropped him a few times. But at this point, with the way that he's performed, or lack thereof, and how they've been using him in the preseason, it's just difficult to, you know, warrant drafting him in the first 100 overall picks. He could still be their best guy. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But, you know, he did all that without Jimmy Garoppolo, and you wonder if they have a rapport that may not be the same as what the rapport is with Goodwin.
I am a little bit higher on him, I guess. I mean, I took him yesterday in this pick by pick that we're going to talk about at pick 94. And I really like that a lot. The two receivers taken before that were DeSean Jackson and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I don't believe either of them are anywhere close to Dante Pettis' upside.
Oh, I'd take MVS over him.
Would you?
Significantly.
Yeah, I don't know how he's going to get that many targets if Adams is still getting 150.
I would think that at this point, I would not be shocked if he gets more targets than Pettis.
Yeah, I haven't downgraded Pettis near as much, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where... when they get Trent Taylor back and... At this point, with Jalen Hurd battling a little bit of injury, maybe that helps him.
I think when everyone's healthy, him and Marquise Goodwin are starting.
I don't know if that's the case. I hope it's the case.
That's my expectation.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I think they like Deebo Samuel at this point better than Dante Pettis.
Oh, I mean, that's a bit of a... I mean, that's an assumption. I there's no evidence to point to that.
Well, no, I was reading some stuff last night where, you know, one reporter in San Francisco alluded to Deebo moving up and Dante moving down just based on how they're using those guys.
Okay.
That's just speculation.
Yeah. All right. So you mentioned DeSean Jackson. He broke his finger, but he should be able to play week one. So Heath, you said you'd rather
not according to a report. Not according to a report. Justine Anderson said it could be a 3 to 4 week injury.
Okay. Well, according to a different report, he can play week one. So all right. So I guess that
apparently means... he's trying out a splint. That's going to kind of determine, I think, how this goes.
All right. So we'll see with DeSean Jackson.
If it is 3 to 4 weeks, you can't draft him.
Jordan Reed expected to be ready for week one. You can draft him. That's good. Washington apparently wants to trade Josh Doctson before week one, according to The Athletic.
I have some socks that I found in my drawer. Got a hole in the toe. I would also like to trade those.
San Francisco wide receiver Trent Taylor unlikely to be ready for week one. Same with Kiki QT for Houston. Cam Newton should be fine for week one. That's great. Pewter reports Trevor Sikema. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Thinks that Dare Ogunbowale, I do think I'm pronouncing that right, will begin the season as Tampa Bay's third down back. What do you guys think the chances of Dare Ogunbowale being like a must-own player at some point this season are?
This is Heath's theory coming to fruition with a different player.
Go back and scrub all of the podcasts from the summer where I said Bruce Anderson, I meant Dare. I got the names confused. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is a easy last round pick at this point for anybody, and if you drafted already and you have a dead roster spot, go pick him up.
Dare Ogunbowale for Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, he could be their best guy by the time we get to the middle of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds so much like Bruce Anderson that like I totally get why you made that mistake.
I just got the names mixed up. Yeah.
Rob Gronkowski.
I'll tell you, I just to give you an example, I have our dynasty team that we share, Adam, which I don't consult with you at all. $1,000 budget. I spent $51 on him just to make sure I got him.
All right, so it's like $5. $5.10 out of 100. Rob Gronkowski did not rule out a return. Is anybody stashing Gronk?
No.
No.
DK Metcalf has a chance to play week one, during which point he will begin his assault to be the best receiver in Seattle, score the most touchdowns. Jerick McKinnon returned to practice, which, you know, we don't like for Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman. Okay, so yeah, I know I asked this yesterday. I'll ask it again. Tevin Coleman or Duke Johnson in any format? All the formats.
Joe Coleman.
Okay. And Carly Lloyd, U.S. soccer star Carly Lloyd, is considering trying to become an NFL kicker. She made a 55-yard field goal the other day in practice. She took five steps instead of two, but that would be really cool, and I'm rooting for it. All right. Big day today. Sportsline Day. Sportsline is taking over CBSSports.com. Sportsline is a website that is a gambling site, a DFS site, a fantasy site. It costs $9.99 a month, which is nothing for gambling advice. If you use the promo code TROPHY, you can get your first month for just $1. Go to sportsline.com/join and use the code TROPHY. We've got a bonus episode publishing tonight, Wednesday night, with Mike McClure. I'm going to talk to him about DFS and just give you sort of an overview. It's not necessarily who to play in week one. It's, hey, I've got $100 I want to spend. How should I spend it? You know, stuff like that should be very helpful. And Mike's a really good fantasy mind. Please leave 5-star reviews. We talked about them for so long, but I kind of stopped. But it would be really helpful to leave a 5-star review. And there's nothing that can help this podcast grow as much as you. Word of mouth, telling your friends, or telling people that aren't in your fantasy leagues, whatever it is. We'd really appreciate all your support. Speaking of your support, I get a ton of your emails at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. I have not read enough of them, but I will have a mailbag tomorrow. So, you know, I apologize for not responding to more. I've been traveling. But yeah, I appreciate all the emails. Keep them coming. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll have a mailbag show tomorrow. And Eye on Fantasy Football is our Saturday night radio show. Make sure you tune in. Big show this week. I might be doing it solo because there's a hurricane coming to South Florida. And I don't know if any of the guys are going to be able to join me, but I think they probably will. Eye on Fantasy Football on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius Channel 206, 10 p.m. Eastern to midnight. We take your phone calls on Saturday night. All right, we're going to get to our pick-by-pick series right now. We're going to take a quick break first on Fantasy Football Today. When we come back, start breaking down how to draft from each spot in the draft. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. First question I have for Jamie and Heath. This was a 12-team PPR league, and the way it worked was Jamie, Dave, Heath, Ben, they each made every four picks. You know, they each had,
you should probably reference which Ben.
Ben Gretsch. Yes, Ben Gretsch. They each made four picks per round and controlled four teams, basically. Was it a three-receiver league?
Yes.
Yes.
I knew the answer was going to be yes to that. Basically, we have transitioned to the big three receiver. Like every single draft we do is three receivers. Okay. 12 teams, PPR, three receivers. Five running backs went to start the draft, including David Johnson. Was he was fourth overall, right? Ahead of Zeke?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that was Ben, who loves David Johnson. And you guys probably hated that pick, right?
He's on my bust list.
Yeah, that high, absolutely. I could still be okay with him in the first round, but it's got to be the back half.
So it was Saquon, Kamara, McCaffrey, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott with the first five picks. This was done yesterday, by the way, Tuesday. Then wide receivers throughout. DeAndre Hopkins, wide receivers throughout the rest of the round. Juju Smith-Schuster to Heath, who took him ahead of Davante Adams. Then Odell Beckham to Ben. And then Davante Adams to Jamie. Must have been pretty happy to get your number one wide receiver, ninth overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, and Tyreek Hill. I think Heath is probably in there moving the cursor around. Is that you, Heath?
I am.
Okay,
yeah. I do that.
Distracting me.
Really drives you crazy.
So there you go. You've got your top seven wide receivers all in the first round in a three-receiver PPR league. I want to pause. Okay, so this is not necessarily about when these guys are going. This is about how to draft at each spot. So Let's look at Team 12. Team 12 tried to go zero RB, and personally, I hate it. I bet Ben, if he were here, he might like it, but I don't know. I don't know about that. So it was Tyreek Hill. It was very Chiefs-y, by the way. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce at the 1-2 turn, Chris Godwin, Patrick Mahomes at 36 and 37 overall, then Jarvis Landry and Curtis Samuel. In rounds, what would that be? That would be rounds five and six. Landry and Curtis Samuel. Six picks without a running back, but starting with Mahomes at quarterback, Kelce at tight end, and at wide receiver. Oh, is there a flex in this league? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So at wide receiver.
Those are all starters for him.
Yeah. Tyreek, except for running back. Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin, Jarvis Landry, Curtis Samuel. Yeah, those are all. I know what you meant now. Those are all starters. His running backs are Matt Breida, Rashad Penny, Kalen Ballage, Justice Hill, Ito Smith, Chase Edmonds, and Ryquell Armstead. Again, it's Breida, Penny, Kalen Ballage, Justice Hill, Ito Smith, Chase Edmonds, Ryquell Armstead. Yeah, I mean, I'm all about zero RB, but there's not one starting running back there. At least it doesn't seem that way. I don't know that this team would work. What do you guys think?
I think... In a three wide receiver league where you also start a flex, you're looking at a situation where he probably has the best quarterback, probably has the best tight end, in my opinion, has one of the five or six best wide receivers. He's fine at number two receiver, probably good
let's
in
say,
PPR
let's
at number
who these
three
names
receiver.
Because I know people can't remember. So
Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin, Jarvis Landry, and then Curtis Samuel as your flex. I don't really like the Jarvis Landry, Curtis Samuel turn.
Right, yeah.
There are other receivers that he could have stuck with the plan and gone receiver, and I would have been happy with it. He was a little shook when I took Kenyon Drake at the end of the fifth. I believe he cursed at me. And then he cursed at me again when I took Latavius Murray at the end of the seventh. So he just missed out on having a couple of much better options at running back. But I really think that turn with Landry and Samuel was, in my opinion, where it kind of went wrong. But also, if Landry is a top 25 receiver like he has been, and Samuel breaks out like Jamie said, I don't think it matters who your running backs are.
I do.
I think you can take 5 points per week from your running backs.
You're beating everybody. That's a best case scenario.
I agree with you what you said. It's the Landry-Samuel turn is where it goes south. Especially given the guys that he passed up on. Forget about the receivers, because you can argue all you want to about the guys that went right after him of D.D. Westbrook and Allen Robinson and Christian Kirk being better than those other guys. I'm not going to fight you on that. But like he passed on Marlon Mack and Duke Johnson. Forget about missing on Drake. Either one of those two guys makes his roster incrementally better.
Right.
And he just does not like running backs in that range of the draft. I mean, he's been on here and talked about it. He wrote,
sure.
wrote a whole piece about it.
Sure, but... It's also then what he could have done at the receiver spot by comparison to the running backs that he got to, which I'll let you bring up, Adam.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to spend the whole time on this team, but yeah, I think if for most of us, if instead of Jarvis Landry and Curtis Samuel, he had taken one of those guys plus Marlon Mack or Duke Johnson or Austin Eckler, you know, it'd be a safer team. And then he could have gotten Larry Fitzgerald later. He could have gotten, a host of guys, you know. All right, so let's go through these teams, right? So let's then go to, since we're 13 picks in, you know, Travis Kelce was the second pick of round two. Let's go to Heath at pick 11. You took Michael Thomas, and then in round two, there are no more. Mike Evans is the next receiver, and only five running backs are off the board at that point. So what were you thinking there in round two?
Yeah, I generally expect, like I don't make the intentional plan and don't stick to it, but I generally expect I'm going to go zero running back from the 11th pick. But when seven of them go in the first round and James Conner's staring at me with the second pick of the second round, I'm thrilled with that. To start with Michael Thomas and James Conner, very, very happy with that start. Mike Evans, I've taken him a couple of picks after this. I think Ben took him three picks after this. I can't take, as much as I'm excited about his upside, I can't take Mike Evans over James Conner or Nick Chubb.
Dave had the 10th pick. He took Julio Jones, and then coming back in the second round, he went with Nick Chubb. So similar strategy to Heath. Heath goes Michael Thomas, James Conner. Dave has Julio Jones, Nick Chubb. We're kind of snaking back here in the second round. We're going from the 12th, you know, team 12 to 11 to 10, now to 9. Jamie, you had Devontae Adams in round one, And with your second pick, you were looking at Mike Evans, and but you decided to take a running back.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I agree with Heath. As much as I like Mike Evans, I wasn't going to pass up either of those three running backs if they fell to me of Connor, Chubb, or Bell. And you could have probably talked me into Joe Mixon if I didn't get one of those three guys.
Okay. So then Ben decided with pick 8, he took Odell Beckham in round 1. So now he's on the clock with his second pick. And with Connor, Chubb, and Bell off the board, plus Travis Kelce, he went with Mike Evans. And this is also a somewhat zero RB team for Ben in the 8 spot. We'll come around to it in round 3 when he picks his first running back. So it's more like a 1 RB. So Heath, you were up with the 7th pick. You took Juju Smith-Schuster. And now you've got 8 wide receivers off the board, plus 8 running backs. And your second pick for the Juju team, picking out of the 7th spot, was?
It was Joe Mixon, and I don't really feel great about it. I'm a little bit concerned about every running back left and excited at the same time. I think Joe Mixon has the same top 5 upside that we've talked about with Kerryon and with Dalvin Cook, but I would much prefer in that spot to get Mike Evans. Yeah. So I wish that had happened, but it didn't.
Okay. But you deem Mixon better than any of the next wide receivers, any of the tight ends?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So then Dave... So what's from a takeaway standpoint, what's a little frustrating about this draft is that for you listeners out there, the second tight end and the third tight end, they went earlier than they probably will in your drafts. And they both went to Dave. Dave took...
And the first tight end based on ADP.
Yeah. I think that's more common, though, to see Kelce going 13th overall than...
Don't disagree. I'm just saying, based on what the averages are.
Kittle went to Dave with the 7th pick of round 2, and then Zach Ertz went to Dave with the second to last pick of round 2. So he went Hopkins, Kittle with team 6, picking out of the 6th spot, Hopkins and Kittle, which Jamie put you on the clock with Ezekiel Elliott, and this is a PPR 3 receiver league. You decided it was okay to go with 2 running backs.
I did it a couple times. Yeah, I just took the best player available. I wasn't going to reach. The only player I would have considered would have been Keenan Allen if I was not taking a running back. But for me, it was either going to be Kerryon Johnson, Dalvin Cook, or Leonard Fournette.
And why did you go with Kerryon Johnson?
I just think he's got the most upside as a pass catcher of that trio.
Okay, then we go to Ben, who had David Johnson with the 4th pick, and he took Dalvin Cook. So that's another team that started running back. And then Heath... with Kerryon Johnson, Dalvin Cook recently off the board, you had Christian McCaffrey with the 3rd overall pick. So this is your 2nd round pick. What did you do?
I took Keenan Allen, and I actually have Allen in PPR, especially in 3 wide receiver leagues, just ahead. I love that Kerryon Cook Fournette group, but I have Allen just ahead of them. It was a little bit of a tough choice with Ertz because I like Ertz more than Kittle, and I think this is right about the spot he should go in PPR, but the 3 wide receivers pushed me over the edge to Allen.
All right, so you went with Christian McCaffrey and Keenan Allen. Dave, picking from the 2 spot, had Alvin Kamara. He went with Zach Ertz in the 2nd round. And Jamie had Saquon Barkley. And then let's talk... Okay, so this team I think is worth getting into right now. So Saquon Barkley was your first pick, a 3-receiver PPR league. And what did you do with your 2nd and 3rd picks?
I just decided I was going to be a little different and take best player as opposed to best, best guy for position. So I took the 2 best players that I had ranked, which were Leonard Fournette and Todd Gurley.
3 running backs.
Okay, let's figure it out.
This is a good point, though, because this happens to me a lot, and I don't get to pick in the first 3 very often for some reason. When I pick in the first 3, what happened to Jamie and what happened with Ben happens to me a lot in the 12th pick, maybe not quite as extreme, but Jamie starts off his team with no wide receivers in his first 4 rounds. Ben from the 12th spot starts off with no running backs in his first 6 picks. And I don't think that's really that abnormal.
I'll tell you the thing about this team that I love and I hate. If you're just in a vacuum telling me I can have A.J. Green, Sterling Shepard, and Emmanuel Sanders with the 3 running backs that I have of Barkley, Fournette, and Gurley, and then the tight end and Ingram, the only thing that I don't like is that I'm locked in with the Giants.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah, you have 3 Giants, Barkley, Ingram, and Shepard.
As talents, though. If you tell me that I'm getting... 16 games out of those 3 running backs, 2 running backs and a flex, I'm starting all 3 guys. I mean, we've all, gloat about Ingram. if AJ Green comes back after 3 weeks and gives me the majority of the season. I mean, a lot of ifs, obviously. But I think, you know, given the fact that I started with three running backs and still able to get not just the three receivers that I got, because I do like Crowder and Brown as fourth and fifth options on their own. I actually like the way that it came together.
All right. So the team is Russell Wilson, a quarterback. He was a round 12 pick. The running backs are Saquon Barkley, Leonard Fournette, and Todd Gurley. Those are your two running backs in your flex. The tight end is Evan Ingram. And then you have A.J. Green, Sterling Shepard, and Emmanuel Sanders starting for you. With some good bench-wide receivers as well. I won't read all the names. But A.J. Green, Sterling Shepard, Emmanuel Sanders. And you could throw John Brown, Jamison Crowder in there if you don't like Sanders.
Well, I have to start one of them for the first couple weeks.
Oh, right, because of A.J. Green. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and you backed up Todd Gurley with Malcolm Brown, which is nice. All right, let's compare that team to one of your other teams. How about Team 5, which also started running back, but not three running backs. So instead of Team 1 for Jamie, in a three-receiver PPR league, did not take a wide receiver until round 5. He went Barkley, Fournette, Gurley, Evan Ingram. Team 5 for Jamie, picking out of the 5 spot, went Ezekiel Elliott, Kerryon Johnson, but then Julian Edelman, Kenny Golladay, and O.J. Howard. So you went with receivers with picks 3 and 4, and you went with it. You got an elite, you know, a second tier great tight end, just like Team 1 did. You have Austin Eckler. You have Sammy Watkins as your third receiver. Is Austin Eckler your flex on this team? Yeah, right? So it's Zeke, Kerryon Johnson.
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I hope so, but if I don't have Elliott start the season, then I'm starting Eckler and Kerryon Johnson, and I'm scrambling a little bit at the flex spot to start the year.
Yeah. Well, I think, which team do you like better? So this team is Lamar Jackson, Zeke, Kerryon, and Eckler, Edelman, Golladay, and Watkins, O.J. Howard at tight end, compared to the Barkley, Fournette, Gurley team with Evan Ingram at tight end, Green, Sterling Shepard, Emmanuel Sanders, John Brown, and Jamison Crowder. Which team do you like better?
If I have Elliott for 16 games, it's this one.
Yeah. But if you have Gurley as Todd Gurley in the third round pick, it might be that one.
Well, yes, but I think just looking at it, taking a step back at it, you know, like there are a lot more ifs with Team 1 than there are with Team 5. The biggest if is the first round pick.
And I think it also it's worth saying that this kind approach kind of shows you what can happen when you're picking on the end, because Jamie should have had better receivers. There was a run in round 4 where Tyler Lockett, T.Y. Hilton, Cooper Kupp, Calvin Ridley, Kenny Golladay, D.J. Moore, Tyler Boyd, Josh Gordon, all taken in like 8 picks in a row right before Jamie. Most of those guys are not going to go in the 4th round, and very few drafts are all of those guys going to go in.
Well, it's also, I mean, look, we are drafting, and I'm confident in saying this, with 4 of the best people in this industry.
Right.
And it's very challenging. Like, you know, we get through, it's exhausting after this is over, because you are going through every single player. We do not draft defenses. We do not draft kickers. So Ben at the end is saying, like he's just throwing running backs at the wall, making a joke about it. Like he drafted Rex Burkhead. Heath drafted Jerick McKinnon. You know, these guys are never going to get drafted at this point. And to Heath's point about the run on receivers, we actually devalue running backs in this draft. That is never going to be the case. You're not going to see Mark Ingram in the 5th round. David Montgomery is not making it to the 5th round. Marlon Mack is not making it to the 6th round. Duke Johnson is not making the 6th. It's just not happening.
Well, so, you don't think so in a three-receiver PPR league?
No, not in every casual draft. I mean, you know, I've done now 4 drafts with my friends who are, I would say, experienced players, but they're not, you know, digesting this on a day-to-day basis like we do. And so, like, you know, the quarterbacks go much earlier, you know, the names that they know go much earlier,
right? Well, that's why I thought maybe the running backs would fall, because they do take the quarterbacks earlier, but fair enough.
Some of the running backs will fall, like the guys that we've been pumping up there will be lots of drafts this weekend where Duke Johnson doesn't go in the first 6 or 7 rounds.
I did a draft with friends who I don't consider to be very much in tune with what's going on. I mean, they tell me, they're like, oh, I just, you know, started reading some stuff, listened to a couple of your podcasts to see what you're going to do the day of.
Right.
And yeah. Duke Johnson went in the 4th round. And this is, from a guy that I know does not really pay much attention to it.
All right, so we'll come back. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about team building, some more strategies to take a look at. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, so let's get back to the sort of pick-by-pick breakdown here. So Jamie had the first pick of the draft, and we know he went Barkley, Fournette, and then Todd Gurley. Dave was on the clock in round three now with Alvin Kamara and Zach Ertz, and then he took Damian Williams. Okay, so Damian Williams, that's a good idea of when Dave is comfortable taking him. Are you guys comfortable taking Damian Williams 26th overall?
Yes.
That's right about the right range. And you have to love the upside for Dave's team with that type of start. I mean, you have a fantastic tight end and two possibly elite running backs.
Okay, I think it's interesting to compare the first two teams because, like, you look at it, Dave's number one receiver is Josh Gordon.
Right.
My number one receiver is A.J. Green. By the middle of the year, who's better?
I hope A.J. Green. Yeah. I expect A.J. Green.
Right.
I have ranked higher.
Right. And I got him a round later.
Well, you got him. No, you got him. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I'm getting confused because it's you got him a full round later, or you got him. No, you got him two picks later.
Two picks later, but it's a round later.
You got him with the first pick of round five.
I got him in round five. Dave got him. Round
Dave
four.
Got Josh Gordon with the second to last pick of round four. So I think team two is interesting because it is a three receiver league, and you can start four receivers, and the receivers aren't very good. So this goes back to what we were talking about yesterday is if you take a tight end early, should you also take a quarterback early and try to be elite at both spots? Or should you just be more worried about sort of filling out your running back and receiver depth? So let's take a look at team two. Kamara, and when I say team two, it means picking out of the second spot, obviously. Kamara, Ertz, Damian Williams. Like, it's a really cool start. Very exciting. Josh Gordon. And then Deshaun Watson in round five. And the best, you know, Heath had just alluded to that wide receiver run of Kupp, Ridley, Galladay, Moore, Boyd, Gordon, A.J. Green. The best wide receiver there was Mike Williams. So I think,
the next guy drafted was Mike Williams.
Yeah. So who was the best wide receiver left then if it wasn't Mike Williams?
I mean, I would say that was D.D. was still on the board, right?
In my rankings, yeah. It'd be D.D.
Yeah, I would say it's any one of D.D., Samuel, I think Emmanuel
Robbie
Sanders.
Robbie Anderson,
yeah, that group.
So are those guys good enough to go ahead of Deshaun Watson as Dave's second wide receiver, or should he have just taken Deshaun Watson there, which is what he did?
I mean, this kind of goes back to what I was saying with what I did with Team 1. It's, you know, if it's either you're going to take something to fill a need, and when I say that, obviously he needs a quarterback, but to fill a need at a deeper roster position, because right. Like you said, we're starting three receivers. And I made the same conscious decision. I actually thought when the board was falling to me that, okay, if Josh Gordon makes it to me, I'm taking Josh Gordon, A.J. Green. And then when Gordon went, I said, you know what? I'm just going to take the best player, which was Evan Ingram. And so I took Ingram and Green. And so I think in Dave's case, he took the best player.
The funny thing is, when Dave picked Josh Gordon, he was trying, because I was actually talking to him. You were in here, I think, doing a podcast. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to decide whether to take Josh Gordon or A.J. Green to see if either one of them were fall. And you were planning on taking both of them.
So I was going
to. Neither of them were going
to. Because, again, the way that I built my team was, let me get those three receivers. I'm like, oh, wow, if I can get those three running backs and A.J. Green and Josh Gordon, I love this. And I still love it, you know, with Ingram. It's just a matter of, you know, you're shuffling positions around. And I think this goes to, again, you have to start a quarterback. So do you want to have one of the best, which obviously Deshaun Watson is, or do you want to have mediocre guy and Mike Williams or Will Fuller or D.D. Westbrook or whoever you want to throw into that spot?
All right, so I want to spend a little more time on this team because I think Dave made the right call in taking Deshaun Watson. So
yes,
Alvin Kamara, Zach Ertz, Damian Williams, Josh Gordon, Deshaun Watson. When your number one wide receiver is Josh Gordon, who never plays 16 games and has had, you know, battled issues, obviously. You can't sit there and assume he's going to play 16 games. It's a little scary. So Dave in round six took Alshon Jeffrey, and then his next three picks were running back. So he has to start three receivers And right now they're looking like Josh Gordon, Alshon Jeffrey, and then maybe James Washington, Cole Beasley, Michael Gallup, and N'Keal Harry. Those are his other guys. I mean, he's going to be weak at wide receiver, but he's great. Kamara and Damian Williams, Zach Ertz, Deshaun Watson, and then he also has James White as a flex. He has Justin Jackson. He took Tony Pollard in round 9 instead of a third wide receiver, but really it was just John Brown and Cortland Sutton he could have had before his next pick. Jamie took both of them in between Dave's next pick. So I don't know. Like you look at his roster and you say, gosh, you're starting Michael Gallup, James Washington, Cole Beasley, or N'Keal Harry at your third receiver. And I say, you know what? Like he'll figure it out. It's a long season. There are waivers. I like this team, even with the glaring hole at receiver, which is Gordon, Alshon Jeffrey, and then that crap I just talked about.
I think it's interesting to compare this team to Ben's number 12 team, just because, yes, he's started off with great running backs. He's got a top two quarterback. He's got a top two tight end, but he's probably behind Ben in both of those spots. Ben's got two spots that he's got to fill every week, and he's got to find it amongst these running backs, Breida, Penny, Balazs, Hill, you know, waiver wire, whatever. Dave's got two spots that he's got to fill.
No, he has one.
He's got to fill a flex.
James White.
Well, James White would be his
flex. Okay. So
which
he's
makes
got...
it, but makes a big difference. I mean, it's a good point. I think that James White really kind of puts his team, makes me feel a lot better about his team.
It is a fair comparison, because I think while I would give the edge to Jeffrey, you can make a comparison that Jeffrey and Matt Breida, given what their roles are in their respective teams, are kind of similar. And then it's, you know, James White to Jarvis Landry, flex to flex. Or no, I guess it'd be Curtis Samuel.
So do you like the more running back heavy approach or the more wide receiver heavy approach?
I think if Ben had just taken a couple different running backs, like the only thing I don't like what Dave did was I think taking the three running backs back to back to back, while there's certainly plenty of upside. Like if Ezekiel Elliott signs, there's no way Tony Pollard should be in the spot on his team.
And you said something about how unsafe Ben's team was. I actually like Ben's floor, I think, a little better.
Oh, yeah, I would agree. You know, because if, you know, look, there, you know, in looking at Ben's team, there's probably a chance of, because he took Matt Breida, Rashad Penny, Kalen Ballage, Justice Hill, and Ito Smith. I'll throw Chase Edmonds in there as well. There's probably a good chance that maybe two of those guys are starting 3 or 4 weeks because the guy in front of them got hurt.
Yeah. Right. So, and just to we keep mentioning Ben's team. This is the Mahomes, Kelsey, Tyreek Hill, Chris Godwin, Jarvis Landry, Curtis Samuel. No running backs until round seven?
Seven.
No running backs until round seven team. So, yeah, he is a couple of injuries away from like winning the league, which is, I think, is Ben's philosophy. Get guys in good offenses that could push into a huge role. All right.
But he and I did a similar approach, you know, like where he's shallow at one spot and he just threw everything that he had from round seven on and at running back. I did the same thing at receiver.
All right. So you're talking about with team one where you took Barkley for
team one. Yes.
Right. All right. Let's go to team three. So Heath, how did you build this team? We're not going to have time to go pick by pick. So how did you build team three? Well, you started with McCaffrey and Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I started with one running back in Christian McCaffrey and took three straight wide receivers, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Tyler Boyd. And I fully expect that to be one of the better receiving cores in the league, maybe not quite as good as Ben's. And then I took three more running backs. I couldn't continue to let Melvin Gordon fall. I got him with the, I believe, 10th pick of the 6th round. It could be a wasted pick, but I really expect he's going to play at least half the year. And if we get to a point to where I'm starting Christian McCaffrey and Melvin Gordon and Tevin Coleman is my flex, and I've got those three wide receivers and Carson Wentz at quarterback, I'm going to like this team a lot. I did the friendship strategy in round 11 and 12 with Miles Boykin and Marquise Brown. And then a pair of tight ends at the very end of the draft. Glad Jordan Reed's playing week one. And I've kind of come around to the idea that as disappointing as he was last year, I don't know that Trey Burton should be the number 20 tight end in ADP. He's probably going to finish somewhere in the top 15.
I like this team. McCaffrey, Tevin Coleman, Melvin Gordon, Tariq Cohen, and Peyton Barber, and Jerick McKinnon at running back. You only have to start two, but you could certainly go McCaffrey, Coleman, and Tariq Cohen as your flex. With Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Tyler Boyd, I mean, that's probably how it's going to line up. And then Carson Wentz, at quarterback, and then late tight ends, Jordan Reed and Trey Burton. I won't go through all the bench players, but yeah, I think this is a good team. So you went running back, receiver, receiver, receiver. And then team four is pretty interesting in this three receiver league. Ben went David Johnson, Dalvin Cook, and then he went nuts at receiver. He took six straight wide receivers. David Johnson, Dalvin Cook, Brandon Cooks, DJ Moore, Mike Williams, Robbie Anderson, Corey Davis, and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I don't know. I just feel like if you're going to take six straight receivers, I don't know that he nailed it. Like Cooks, DJ.
Well, he took upside guys.
Look, the thing is, like, Ben has his guys. Ben and I probably just disagree on players a lot, so I don't want to, you know, I'm not saying I'm right. Cooks, DJ Moore, Mike Williams, Robbie Anderson, Corey Davis, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I guess it's good, but, like, I like Heath's receiving core, even though it's shallower, of Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, Tyler Boyd. It just feels like a lot better to me. I don't know.
Well, he also took, you know, two of them first.
Yeah, but Diggs and Cooks were back-to-back. But okay, yes, but
that's his number one and my number two, though.
I understand, but I'm just saying investing one round earlier in wide receiver to me feels a lot better. You guys,
if Melvin Gordon is playing a month into the season, then I agree my team's a lot better. If Melvin Gordon's out,
but that was the perfect spot for you to swing for the fences,
right?
I mean, you know, you went with, obviously you're not going to pass on McCaffrey or Kamara, whoever falls to you at three. And then you took those three receivers, which I think a lot of people would say those are the three best guys on the board. You can argue Boyd, but, you know, still that's, you know, Allen and Diggs in two and three in the three receiver PPR league. That's fantastic. And then Coleman in round five as your second running back. Great. And so it's okay. At that point, does it make more sense to take Alshon, Sterling Shepard, Emmanuel Sanders, you know, James White, Tariq Cohen, you know, the guys that went right around him, or try and win the league? And at that point, you try and win the league.
So that's team four, which is Kyler Murray at quarterback, David Johnson, Dalvin Cook, Ronald Jones and Jalen Richard, Jamal Williams, and Giovanni Bernard, and Rex Burkhead at running back.
I'll just give you just a quick comparison with Melvin Gordon. And if I knew that Zeke was playing, just because I had the choice of, I took Eckler over Melvin Gordon.
Right.
And I did that consciously with the thought of, okay, if I don't have Zeke for maybe a couple weeks, I'm expecting, and I've talked about this a lot, obviously, Eckler, this is team five, that Eckler, even if Melvin Gordon comes back, still has the ability to be a starting player for you, whether it's running back or flex, depending on how your team looks.
When you look at your teams, is there, all these teams, is there a strategy you feel like worked the best, an overall takeaway?
It's so hard to have a strategy when you're doing it with these three other guys. It really is, because, like, I know the things they're going to do.
Right.
You know?
Right. My favorite team we haven't gotten to yet. So I think, but I do think the three wide receivers, one running back worked pretty well.
Okay. What's your favorite team?
Seven.
All right. That is a Heath team. So team seven. That,
yeah. My favorite team of mine.
Oh, I thought you meant overall. Okay.
Oh, it's so, a great team.
Probably still my favorite team of mine.
Juju, Thielen, and Kupp at wide receiver. The round two pick was Joe Mixon. And Duke Johnson, Philip. Yeah, this is a good team. Duke Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Hunter Henry. But here's how it broke down from the seventh spot. Juju, Mixon, Thielen, Cooper Kupp, Hunter Henry in round five, and then three straight running backs in round six through eight. Duke Johnson, Philip Lindsay, and Royce Freeman. Man, Philip Lindsay in round seven. That's good. Tyrell Williams, LeSean McCoy, Golden Tate. Yeah, he's going to be good when he comes back. Jared Goff and Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Davis and Carlos Hyde. Yeah, this is so far my favorite team.
That's great. And it's funny. I think I'm going to guess Ben's not a Duke Johnson guy.
He, I believe, has, if we all four had rankings, would have him the second highest. Okay. He should have taken him. That was like, he should have taken him.
I don't think he's going to fall this far.
That was round six, mid round six.
Yeah.
All right, so if you could sum up why this team worked so well, Heath, again, it's Goff and Roethlisberger, who you took in rounds 12 and 13. It's Juju, Thielen, and Kupp, who are three of your first four picks. And your running backs are Mixon, Duke Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, LeSean McCoy, Mike Davis, and Carlos Hyde. Hyde, a smart move as the Duke Johnson owner with your last pick. And Hunter Henry, your tight end in round five. Yeah, I don't know, you nailed it.
Is Ben also down on Thielen like we are?
I don't know.
Because Thielen also falling the middle of the third in PPR is probably not realistic either.
Right. No, I think part of it was this was in this draft one of the best places to draft from. A lot, like I just kind of seemed to catch the end of a couple of runs and a couple of tiers.
Yep.
And it worked out really well. Now, Goff and Roethlisberger in round 12 and 13 is probably not going to happen very many drafts either. But Hunter Henry is a perfect example of it. If I miss Hunter Henry, I don't like this team near as much because like my other two teams, it has a terrible tight end.
Yeah.
Well, but if you had missed Hunter Henry, who would you have taken? Would you have taken a running back like David Montgomery or Sony Michel or Kenyon Drake? Or would you have taken Will Fuller or a wide receiver?
I definitely would not. The problem is that would have put me in a really tough spot because I'm relatively certain my two highest ranked players in PPR would have been Kenyon Drake and Dede Westbrook. And it's really too early based on ADP to take either of them there. I was really lucky that Hunter, I mean, I might've taken Duke Johnson, who I took in the next round.
You could have taken Dede there.
I could have. Yeah. That's just higher than he goes.
But so, this you have to throw at ADP when you're doing this. Like I had a similar approach with my first four picks with pick nine, which is probably my favorite team too. It's just, and this is where the tight end difference becomes, because like what I did was in round five, I took David Montgomery instead of a tight end.
And yeah, so, they were all gone by the time I got
there. They were all gone, right. So
Because Hunter Henry had come off the board two picks earlier.
Right. You know, so I went receiver, running back, two receivers, you know, very similar start. You know, again, you could debate who's got better players. I think they're very similar. And then I went with two running backs right after.
So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to wrap things up. We're going to compare team 7 and team 9. Both teams drafted a wide receiver in round 1 and a running back in round 2. And let's see how the rest of it unfolded. We also have a special week 1 segment at the end of the show. In case you haven't noticed the Chris Harris interview, I will push, not doing it today on this episode. I will put it at the end of the Mike McClure DFS interview. So you will hear the Chris Harris interview later tonight on this Wednesday night. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, wrapping it up here. So as I mentioned earlier, the first five picks were running backs in round one. The last seven picks were wide receivers. They were each of the top seven wide receivers. Those seven teams, two of them took a tight end in round two. Four of them took a running back. And one of them took Mike Evans. So if we compare teams 7 and 9 in a three receiver PPR league, they both went wide receiver, running back, wide receiver, wide receiver. Heath was Juju, Mixon, Thielen, and Kupp. Jamie out of the 9 spot was Adams, Le'Veon Bell, Robert Woods, and Tyler Lockett. Let's just call it a push at that point. Heath then took a Hunter Henry. And Jamie took David Montgomery two picks later. And then Jamie took Marlon Mack while Heath took Duke Johnson. So we've already established that Heath's team, Team 7, is great. How did Jamie's team finish? Jameis Winston is his quarterback. He took him, you know, right around when Jared Goff went for Heath. Davante Adams, Robert Woods, Tyler Lockett, Marvin Jones are his four receivers, plus Geronimo Allison and a couple of 49ers, not named Pettis. Running backs are Le'Veon Bell, David Montgomery, Marlon Mack, and Darius Geis. And Delanie Walker's his tight end. And I love this team. I think both of these teams are great. And this might be how I would lean now. Like seeing this pick by pick series, if I'm in a three receiver league, I think if you're picking late after the big five running backs are gone, big four running backs are gone or whatever, going wide receiver, running back, receiver, I think it could really work for you. I just think that you're probably waiting to take, you know, a quarterback that's ranked somewhere around 8 to 12, like Goff and Roethlisberger and Winston. And guys, I think you did a great job from those 7 and 9 spots, and I think this is a really, really smart way to start a three-receiver team.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the nice thing for both of us is we have three receivers that are top 20, however right. you want to break it down. And that makes it pretty satisfying when you have a top 10 running back, you know? And so I think that's the thing that makes these rosters work so well. And then, you know, for Heath's case, he has a great tight end, you know, one of the top six guys, and still very good running back depth with Duke Johnson and Philip Lindsay filling out his two and his three. You know, I may have a little bit better fourth receiver, and I know as much as you like Tyrell Williams, I think you like Marvin Jones a little better, right?
Yeah. They're ranked right about the same spot for me.
Most people would take Marvin Jones
almost everyone
over Tyrell Williams. And, you know, it's just, you know, you start to have slight differences. But yeah, I agree with you, Adam. I think this is, like he said, that's his favorite team. I think it's my favorite team as well.
My apologies to Chris Harris. I did want to get that interview in on this episode, but I realized we just needed a little bit more time to talk about this pick-by-pick series. So
he's going to beat you to a pulp.
Yeah, he's like very in shape, and he is going to kick my butt.
Do you remember that story? How he was like fawning over Chris Harris?
No.
He met Chris at the Flex Draft 2 years ago.
Talking about how good his shape he was in?
Flex, speaking of Flex, I mean, Chris is, you know?
Yeah. Very fit.
And so I said to Chris during the interview, which we recorded, that... because Chris knows Eric Young
right.
from WWE. Mm-hmm. I said, Chris, can you imagine as Adam was fawning over you, now he's sitting in a room with a professional wrestler for 6 hours.
Right.
The compliments that were probably going in Eric Young's direction.
Heath, what was the question?
Adam was very uncomfortable.
Okay, what was the question you asked Eric Young as it relates to
the question that we've been debating in the office for weeks now, how far he could carry Adam Azer. And yeah. He almost like he did. He was so professional, did such a great job. It was a joy working with him. He almost lost it completely when he heard that Adam weighed 135 pounds.
I weigh 143 pounds.
143 pounds. Like he just giggling was so funny. And he said, well, I can squat 460. So I think I could carry him for a mile.
Yeah.
He could squat almost four of you. Like if he had a bar and two of you sat on each side, he could probably do that once.
So if you saw the telethon, Heath was not just wearing a V-neck, he was a capital V.
Yeah.
So
full
much
shades. He was chest hair was everywhere.
That was a lot more intimidating than Eric Young, by the way.
If one of the lights fell here and the room caught on fire and Heath's chest hair caught on fire, Eric would have picked Adam up and carried him to safety.
Yes.
While probably still picking up maybe two or three other things.
Yeah, and eating a pizza. All right, guys, we have a few minutes left. We have to do our Head and Shoulders segment, looking ahead to week one, offense versus defense. Last year, Patrick Mahomes had his worst game of the season against the Jacksonville Jaguars. He scored 15 fantasy points in a 6-point per passing touchdown league and a 4-point per passing touchdown league because he didn't throw a touchdown, but he did rush for one. That was, again, his worst game of the year, and it was in Arrowhead. Week one, he's at Jacksonville. They allowed the 6th fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks. They added Josh Allen. There were only 2 quarterbacks last year that had good games without a rushing touchdown, like really good games without a rushing touchdown against the Jaguars. So my question is, would you start Patrick Mahomes in week one? Let's just play a game and pretend you have a second quarterback. Or Dak Prescott, who is home against the Giants. Last time he faced the Giants was week 17. He had 41 fantasy points, threw for 387 yards and 4 touchdowns. Must be noted, his first game against the Giants wasn't very good, only 16 fantasy points. But offense versus defense, Head and Shoulders, Patrick Mahomes or Dak Prescott in week one?
I'm going to assume we're playing this out as if Amari Cooper is on the field for the Cowboys, because that's a huge difference maker, clearly. I'm still starting Mahomes. I'm not going to get cute with it, but it would not surprise me if Prescott is better. You don't draft Patrick Mahomes as high as you do with the thought of benching him really any week. And as we know, Andy Reid, when he has time to prepare for a defense, he usually is typically very good, which is why his record coming off byes is fantastic. But I don't think, you know, I haven't gotten to my week one rankings yet. I don't think Mahomes is going to be my number one quarterback for the week.
I haven't done my rankings yet. I ran my first run of week one projections last night. And Patrick Mahomes was not my number one quarterback.
Yeah, it's...
He was number two.
Yeah, who was? He's number one.
Watson.
Yeah, I don't think Mahomes is... He may not be in my top five. Jacksonville's defense is going to be nasty once again. And like you said, Adam, this was early in the season when that defense was still playing at a very high level when they met last year. they're going to be better.
I will just say one thing, like in looking back at that game, because I thought that I remembered it this way. Patrick Mahomes threw for 313 yards in that game and averaged 8.2 yards per attempt, which is well above average.
That was at home, though.
The fact that he didn't throw a touchdown is a little bit fluky.
Sure. But the fact that he rushed for a touchdown might be a little fluky, too. I do have to wrap it up. I'm sorry.
I spoke to Calais Campbell at the Pro Bowl because I did the story in our magazine about Patrick Mahomes. And I said, you know, what was your key to success? And he's like, you have to hit that guy. And if there's any team that can hit him, they have one of the best defensive lines in football.
All right. Hey, we have a Patrick Mahomes song that I plan on playing on the show tomorrow.
As long as you don't sing it, we're good.
Patrick Mahomes, that offense against that Jacksonville defense. I am not singing it. Someone else is singing
DFS,
it.
It's easy to play Dak.
Right. And Dak was a top six quarterback in my first predictions, so he's up there.
Head and Shoulders, great offense for your hair and defense for a flake-free scalp. Go visit headandshoulders.com/NFL for more. I hope this was helpful, everybody, in building your team. Thanks to Jamie and to Heath. Sorry to Chris Harris, but you're going to hear him later tonight when we have our special DFS episode with Mike McClure. For Heath and Jamie, I am Adam. Talk to you tomorrow, or talk to you tonight, actually, on Fantasy Football Today.